And we're holding on Kuf Tes Amud Beis, about nine lines from the bottom. We started talking yesterday about Korach. The Mishnah had said that Adas Korach, the whole group of Korach, does not have a place in Olam Haba, according to Rabbi Akiva, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, they do, and Hashem is going to bring them out. There are sichas where the Rebbe talks about that the Zohar mentions they do have a chelik on the Mabar, all these groups that we said, the dirt on Midbar in general, the Meraglim, Adas Korach, the Zohar makes it clear they all do have a chelik on the Mabar, and given that then, especially since we see that in our Mishnah it's not, and in our Gemara it's not universally agreed to, we already have Rebbe Eliezer disagreeing, then we have good reason to say the halacha is like that, and therefore that they do have a chelik on the Mabar. Or the halacha, really, it's not something that's negeil a halacha, but the point is, in other words, that that's how it will be, and they do, in fact, have a chelik le'en rabbah. So the Gemara continues. When the pasuk says, Vayikach Korach, the pasuk says, Korach took. So what did he take? If you mean that he took his 250 people, then the pasuk does not phrase that way. First it says, Vayikach Korach, and Yitzhak, and Kosov, and Levi, Vidosin, Vaviram, etc. Then it says that he and 250 people came together. So it doesn't say who he took. So I'm going to shluck a shalokach mekach rala atzmai. Means he took a bad deal for himself. So he started a machlokas, and thereby he ended up with a bad deal. Why is he called Korach? So the Gemara often doubts the name. Shenasa Korcha b'Yisrael. He became a bald spot among the Jewish people because he caused himself and people and other people were killed, and therefore that now, like, there's a bald spot, there's an empty space among the Jewish people where there was before. Marashah points out also it means in the sense nobody after that, no Jew after that ever used the name Korach. We do have a descendant of Esau mentioned in Parashas Vayishlach who used the name Korach, but among the Yisrael, among the Jewish people, nobody ever used the name Korach again, because as we know, you don't use names of Rishayim. So as much as we're saying in Chassidus and in many other places, it talks about underneath it all, Korach was a great person, and there were points that he had that are valid, the Pnimiyus Inyanim and so forth. Nevertheless, on the surface, he was a Rasha, and they stopped using his name. Next, Ben Yitzhar, he's called the son of Yitzhar. Now, in other words, the point is like this. In other words, obviously, these are the names of his ancestors, Yitzhar, Kahas, Levi. The point of it is, though, that usually we have a rule when a Rosha is mentioned together with his ancestors, it means all of them were Rishoyim. And when a Tzaddik is mentioned together with his ancestors, it means all of them were Tzaddikim. Here, we're saying Korach was a Rosha, but Kahas and Levi and Yitzhar Levi at least was certainly not a Rosha, and Kohos b'pashtos also not, and Yitzhar b'pashtos also not. So why are we listing them together with him? Therefore, the Gemara wants to douse in the names that they tell us something about about Korach himself. So Ben Yitzhar Ben Shehutiach all of us kala olam katzarayim. He made the entire world boil and be hot against him like the noontime, which is hot. In other words, he brought about Hashem's anger against the entire Jewish people. And one thing is, it's one person who did that. In other words, other cases where Hashem was angry at the Jewish people, it was a bunch of people. Here it all started with one person, Korach. Then Ben Kohos is called Ben Kohos Ben Shehikar Shina Melidov. He blunted the teeth of his ancestors, meaning that all of them are embarrassed because of him. And Ben Levi Ben Shanasa Lavoya BeGehenim is called Ben Levi because he became an accompaniment in Gehenim. That he went down to Gehenim together with his entire group. So the Gemara says, Lech Shavnami Ben Yaakov. Well, by the same token, why don't we mention Ben Yaakov as well, and we would be able to douch in it, Ben Sha'okav Atzma the Gehenim, that he caused himself to be attached to and fall into Gehenim. And the answer is, Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, Yaakov Bikesh Rachmim Al Atzmai, Yaakov Davin for Rachmim for himself, that his name should not even be mentioned with them, even though it could be used for a drosha, and therefore it wouldn't necessarily mean the son of Yaakov, it would mean the son who Ok of Atzmai the Gehenim, but Yaakov Davin, that his name, B'chalal, should be left out of the whole matter. Kenema, as Yaakov says in his last words to his children, "Besodim al tovei nafshi." In their secret, when Shimon and Levi are plotting together in secret, "Al tovei nafshi, let my soul not come." V'cholam, when they gather together, "Al teichad kvoidi, let my kavod, my neshama, not unite together with them." So, besodim al tovei nafshi, elam raglim. So the first one is the Meraglim. It only says by each one of them that he's from such and such a Shevet. It doesn't say Ben Yaakov. So Yaakov's name is left out over there. And here, the second thing, though, my coverage should not be involved, should not be joined together with their kohol, refers to Adas Korach. An interesting point that Marsha and the Oruch HaNer point out is, why are we... Why are we Adas Korach, fine, we understand what that has to do with Levi. Korach was from Shevet Levi. But the Meraglim were from all 12 Shvatim. So why is Yaakov mentioning this matter of Sodom al Tovinafi specifically in his words to Shimon and Levi? So Marashah says, evidently, the Chachamim knew, now Levi, in fact, didn't even send a Meragel, so Marashah says, evidently, the Chachamim knew that the Meragel of Shimon, Shofak ben Chodi, his name was the ringleader. He's the one who started convincing all the other ones to go, 10 of the 12, to go bad and to speak badly against Eretz Yisrael. The Aruch HaNer gives an explanation of a different explanation over here. He says that when you have a machlokas like that, there can be two ways. It can be done by plotting in secret, or it can be going and it can be done by making an open rebellion. So here you have, by the Meraglim, it was something in secret, and here that was similar to the way. So with Shimon and Levi, on the one hand, they went openly and fought against Shechem, for which Yaakov criticized them. On the other hand, they plotted in secret against Yosef. So now, similarly, you have in later generations, you have the plotted in secret, which was the Meraglim, and you have the open rebellion, which is Korach. So therefore, that's the connection. Okay. The Gemara continues. Let's douse in the rest of the names that are mentioned in the pasuk over there. You have it. It says, besides Korach, it says, V'dosan v'aviram v'nei aliyah v'oin ben pelas. So Dosan is so-called sh'over al-das kale. He violated the das, the law of Hashem, all the way back in Mitzrayim, even when he and Aviram were fighting. Aviram, why is Aviram called that? She'iber asme ma'asos tshuva. He strengthened himself. Iber, like he has strong limbs, he strengthened himself and made himself stubborn. Ma'asos tshuva, from doing tshuva. Then you have the oin. Then you have the next one mentioned in the pasuk is oin men pelas. So why is he called oin? She yosha ba'aninus, that he sat in mourning afterwards, as the Gemara is going to tell the story of it here. His wife talked him out of joining them in the end, and therefore he didn't get swallowed up in the ground. But after that, he was in mourning over the fact that how could I have gone and then disobeyed Moshe and gone with Korach in the first place. So he did tshuva, and therefore, in the token of that, he's called Oin. And Ben Pelas, he's called Ben Pelas, the white Pelas, Shanasu like Plois, because wondrous things were done for him, as in he was saved by Derech Nes, that he stayed away from them. Plois also means to be separated. So Rashi says that Shapira Shoshanitzal Mehem, he separated himself and he was saved from them. So therefore, in token of that, he's called Ben Pelas. So Marashah explains, it's both really. In other words, you have the word, the Shodesh Pelas can mean to separate, like the Flacy by Yemah, who Hashem says, I'll separate when it comes to Makas Orev, that it won't affect the Jews. And we also said, Meloshim Pelas, so therefore, so he separated himself. And it was a Pela, that it was wondrous to everybody. We knew he was one of the big people in Korach's group, and how did he get saved? And therefore, everybody was wondering about it, and everybody found out what happened. And he's called Ben Ruven. And now all of them, Dosan, Aviram, and he, were all from Shevet Reuben, but it only says Ben Reuben by him. Ben Shara of a haven means he saw, and he understood, he saw the logic in what his wife is telling him, that's what Moses is going to say next, and he understood that this is how he should act, and he should not join up with Korach, after all. The Gemara says, Omar Rav, Oin Ben Pelas Ishtei Hitzilatu. What happened was, Oin Ben Pelas' wife saved him. Omrele, she says to him, you're getting involved in this machlokas, but my naftalach mina, what's it going to make a difference to you anyway? Imar Rabba, what the whole point is, Korach is arguing that Moshe shouldn't be the leader, that he should be the leader instead. Well, either way, you're not going to be on top. Imar Rabba an Talmida, Imar Rabba an Talmida. Whether Moshe or Korach wins, either way, you're going to be the Talmid. What are you gaining from it? So he says to her, my Evid, so what can I do? Havoi the Eitza. I was with them in their group when we were talking about it. When I swore that I'm going to join them. So now I have to go and join them when they're going to go and bring the Kurdis. So she says to him, Yadayna the lay over here, Agoyes Agura, takes it out, because according to that, there would be two different things. There's first something that she thinks to herself, how I'm going to save my husband, and then there's what she tells her husband. So first she thinks to herself, Yadayna de Kula Knishta Kadishaninu. I know that the whole congregation, all the Jewish people, including Korach and all his group, are holy Jews. Dichtiv, as Korach himself says, Kichala Eda Kulam Kadoshim, all the congregation are holy. So therefore now that gives her an idea how she's going to save her husband. Omrale, she says to her husband, Tuv, you sit over here. Nana Matsil Nalach, I will save you. So the fact that he went along with that he realized the logic in what she was saying, and he didn't go out, that's what we said. That's why he was called Shadra Behaven, that he saw the justice of her argument, and he didn't go with them. So what did she do? Ashkise Chamra, she gave him wine to drink, Va'avise, she got him drunk, Va'agnise Gavoi, and she put him to bed inside the tent, deep inside the tent. So this way, so now he's asleep. Now he won't be over on a shvuah because he's asleep. It's an onus. So that takes care of the shvuah part. Now what about though? People are going to come to try to wake him up and bring him. Oisva al Baba, she sat by the entrance of the tent, the Satout of Amazia, and she undid her hair and sat there with her hair uncovered. Called the Osa, any person who comes from Korach's group to call him, Chazia saw her with her hair uncovered, Vahodar, and he turned around backwards. You see, by the way, when she said Kola Ida Kulam Kedoshim, you see how right she was. How many of us are repulsed or even shocked by a woman's uncovered hair, even a Jewish woman, let alone a Goita? And here we have, you know, they would see her hair uncovered and like instinctively almost, like we can't go into such a house. So, Adahochi Bahochi Ivlu. Meanwhile, as all this was going on, Korach and his group were swallowed up in the ground, and therefore, and then Oin Ben Pelas was saved because, in fact, because he wasn't with them, because he was sleeping over there in the tent. There's even a medrash that says, actually, that goes even further, that says that at this point, his bed actually started sliding towards the hole in the ground. We know that people and things that belonged to Korach and his group from everywhere in the Machna were going and sliding no matter what. The Gemara actually has machlokas elsewhere, whether there was one hole in the ground that everything fell into and it became like a vacuum sucking everything in, or whether there were different holes in different places. Anyway, so the medrash says, actually, that his bed was in danger of falling into that, and she grabbed a hold of it, and then daven and then argued to Hashem, don't let him go, don't let him fall in there. The fact is, he separated himself from them, and so she really did save him. Now the Gemara says, on the other hand, Korach's wife was the one; she was the one who got him into rebelling against Moshe in the first place. Omrele, she says to him, Chozi my ka'ovid Moshe. Look what Moshe is doing. Ihu having Malka, he's becoming the king. La'achua shavi kahana rabba, his brother Aaron, he's made the Kohen Gadol. Livnei achui shavinu sgoni dekana, his nephews, he's made the deputy Kohenim, in particular Elazar was the Sgan, the second in command to the Kohen Gadol. And she continues, E asked your Truma, when Truma comes, that the Jewish people are going to be giving from their produce, Omar, he says, Tevi the Kohen, it has to go to the Kohen. He also Meiser, and even when Meiser Rishon comes to Shaplitu Aftun, where you, Levium, get to take it, Omar, Moshe still says, Hovuchad Meiser the Kohen, you have to give 1/10 of that to the Kohen. So he's making you like you Levium are unimportant. And Chassidus talks about the idea that Korach had the notion that Levium are higher than the Kohenim, and there is a validity to it. Al pi Kabbalah, there is the idea that also Lavoi, we will see the greatness of the Levium over the Kohenim. Their avoda is with Gvura, the Kohenim's avoda is with Chesed. Also Lavoi will see the greatness of Gvura over Chesed. It talks about the also Lavoi people who would have been born into families of Levium instead of going to be born into families of Kohenim. In any case, the point is. So there was this idea, but now the Gemara is putting it in this crude way, like she's saying, the fact is he's acting as the Levium are unimportant and only the Kohenim are important, and that motivated him to rebel. Then she continued. In the Medrash, by the way, brings a bunch of other things that Korach himself, once he got this idea from his wife, then he goes on and starts making fun of a whole bunch of other mitzvahs in the Torah, that everything you see, that no matter what, you can't do anything without the Kohenim taking their cut. This Korach's life we're talking about. So, yeah, the Medrash expands on that, how Korach was going around and convincing people, you know, there's not a single thing you can do. You shecht an animal, you have zroi l'chayayim v'teva. You shear the wool, you have to give reishis a gaze, and so on and so forth. And he's going through and mocking and then pointing out how no matter what you do, you can't get out of giving something to the Kohen. And then she continues, v'oid, and not only that, look what Moshe did to you. The guy is l'chulam azaychu. He cut off your hair. He's playing around with you like fools. Kufta literally means a piece of dung, a piece of waste. So in other words, he considers you like worth no more than that. Because we find at the beginning of Parashat Va'aloscha, all the Levim had to have all their hair shaved off. And in fact, Marsha points out, she's saying it's one thing, for example, if you were Nazirim. We know that a Nazir also cuts his hair, but fine. Him, you put his hair under the fire where his korban is being burnt, showing that his hair is important. But here, he didn't tell you to do anything particular with the hair, so it just got thrown out. So as far as we were concerned, he just did it in order to make you look ridiculous. Eina, Yohad B'mazaychu. Why is that? Because he's looking at your hair. He was jealous of your nice hair, and therefore, so he didn't want that you should look as nice as he does. Omalah, Korach says, but you Namikov, but the fact is Moshe did that as well. He's one of the Levim as well. When they shaved the Levim's hair, his hair was also shaven. Omalah, Korach's wife says, given to Kulur Rebusid Yide, since he has all the greatness, being the king and his brother, the Kohen Gadol, and so forth, Omar, so you can say that Moshe said to himself, Iunami, Omar Iunami. So he also says, Thomas Napshi and Plishtin, as the expression goes, like Shimshin said before he brought down the house on top of the Plishtin, let me die together with the Plishtin, which became, in other words, obviously Korach's wife's not using that particular expression, but in other words, the point is, like you have, let other people, let me suffer as well, as long as I can make other people suffer. So therefore, so she's saying, yes, Moshe did that, only because that's like playing along with the thing. But the real reason was in order to make all of you, Levian, look ridiculous. And she continues, not only that, he's telling all of you to put tchelas on your garments. Now, what's so great about it, if you're going to tell us that tchelas is a mitzvah, bring out garments made all out of tchelas, the kasinu l'chulam misivasach, and have everybody in your bits medrash wear them. And in fact, the medrash says that he did that they all took talus shakulot tchelas, they all dressed themselves in talus shakulot tchelas, and came to ask Moshe, does it need tzitzis? And Moshe says yes, and then they made fun of him for that as well. So the Gemara says, Hainu d'chtiv, this contrast between Oin ben Peles' wife who saved him and Korach's wife who destroyed him. This is like the pasuk says, "Chachmos noshim bonsavesa." The wisest of women builds up her house, and that means Zuichdishel Oinben Peles. Oinben Peles' wife is an example of that. And when the pasuk continues, "Beivelas beyoda sehersena," the foolish woman destroys her house with her own hands. Zuichdishel Korach. That refers to Korach's wife who destroyed her house and her family by inciting her husband to rebel against Moshe. Okay. The Gemara continues, by Akumu Lifnei Moshe, they stood up, the Pasuk says they stood up, they stood in front of Moshe, Va'anoshim Bnei Yisrael Chamishim L'Soyim, and 250 men from Bnei Yisrael. Now, what do you mean from Bnei Yisrael? Who else would they have been from? So the Gemara says, Ha'miuchodim Sheba'edah. This means they were unique people among the congregation. They weren't just some people, they were very important people. And when the Pasuk says, Kriye Moed, when the Pasuk says, the ones who call the times, or the ones who are called for the times, that means, these are people who know how to declare leap years and to declare new months, which is, as we find throughout Shas, is always used as the example of something very complicated that they knew had that they're very complicated mathematics that they knew how to do. And she shame, and when it says men of renown, that means shoyelam shame. B'chol ha'olam, they were renowned and famous throughout the world. So these are the people that Korach got to join him. Next, the pasuk says Vayishma Moshe Vayipol Aponov. Moshe heard and he fell on his face. Mashmu Shama, what particular thing did Moshe hear that caused him to fall on his face? Marshall explains, the point of the question is, if it was that he's arguing against Moshe and against Aaron, then it should say that both Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces, as we find in other places in the Torah where it says that they did. Here it says only Moshe did, so that means evidently we're talking about something personal against Moshe. So what was it? Omer Rav Shmuel Bar Achmeni, Omer Rav Yonasan, Shechashdu Me'eshes Ish. Adas Korach claimed to suspect Moshe of being Mizana with an Eshes Ish. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Vayikanu l'Moshe mamachna," they were jealous about Moshe in the camp. Now, the word kinui, we know, has a technical meaning when it comes to a sota, where the husband warns his wife, don't be alone with this man. So, Omer, each of the people in these kinds of groups are going and being mekane to his wife and telling her, don't be alone with Moshe. Now, how could they do such a thing? What makes them, what gives them the idea even that they should suspect Moshe of such a thing? Obviously, they're doing it in order to harass Moshe, but still, what was their excuse that it should be a logical thing to say? Moshe explains, we know that after Matan Torah, Moshe separated from his wife. Everybody separated from their wives 3 days before Matan Torah. Everybody else, Hashem told them, Shuv Alechem Ma'aleichem, but then Hashem tells Moshe, Va'ata Poya Modi Modi, and Moshe himself, the Gemara says, had decided that on his own, and Hashem agreed with what he said. So therefore, so now, these people, these leitzim are saying, you know what, how could anybody be, how could any man be without a wife and without having relations for so long? Must be that he's doing it with other people. Another point is also, as the pasuk says, Moshe yikach ha'sa'ol, v'not alei mechutz l'machna, as the pasuk says, Moshe took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, meaning, in other words, that he doesn't want them to suspect him anymore. He wants, fine, you're going to suspect me when I'm in the machna, then fine, I'll camp outside the machna, and therefore you won't, be choshing me. There's a different explanation, actually, that it means that was the very thing that now they use as the excuse. They're saying, people, as the pasuk says, anybody who wants to hear from Hashem, anybody who wants to learn Torah, would go out there, and that included women. So now, these men would use that as an excuse as well.
It's that private housing.
Yeah, that's private housing, and therefore, yeah. Next, the pasuk says, Yokam Moshe Vayelech al Dosen Vavirah. Moshe got up, it says, towards the end of the story of Korach, that he got up and went to Dosen Vavirah. From here we see, now Moshe, why is he going to them? They should be coming to him. And in fact, he had tried to call them before, and they refused, loinala. So now, but we don't hold on to machlokas. A person should be moichel on his covered in order to, like Moshe did, in order to be mevatel the machlokas. In other words, the point is, so Marsha says the point, otherwise, why does Moshe have to go alone? Moshe could have just as well sent a shliach. Now, Hashem had told Moshe, in the previous pasuk, "Suru nami ala alei hanoshim arishoyim eila." Stay away from the tents of these wicked people, because otherwise you're going to be destroyed with them. So fine, Moshe is not going to go himself, but he could still send a shliach. But nevertheless, Moshe is still going himself in order to because ein machzik and machlokas. There's an interesting sicha in Chelek Kof Ches where the Rebbe talks about that the idea is Hashem had told Moshe basically that's it. There's no chance for them to do tshuva anymore. Don't even bother telling them musar anymore because that's it. They're goners. Nevertheless, Moshe is saying, fine, I can't give them musar, but at least I can go make an appearance over there, and maybe for that reason alone they'll have derech eretz for me, and then they'll be able to be saved. So we see that Moshe is taking every possible means to save them. So the Gemara continues. Anybody who holds on to machlokas and continues it is over on a lav. Shenemar, you have a few pesukim later. He should not be like Korach and his group. So it means, in other words, that don't be like them. They started a machlokas, and you shouldn't do that either. Interestingly, this is one of the areas where the Rambam and the Ramban disagree, I mean, as far as the enumeration of mitzvahs. The Rambam explains that this is only on a smachta, it's not one of the 613 mitzvahs. The Ramban disagrees and actually counts it as one of the 613. The Gemara continues, Rav Ashi Yomer Roy Litzara. Rav Ashi says a person who holds on to machlokas and pursues it instead of trying to make peace deserves to get saras. How do we see that? Ksiv Hocha Biyad Moshe Loi, because as the pasuk continues, Hashem spoke in the hand of Moshe to him. So with Uchtiv Hasem, and then you have in Parashas Shmos, Vayomer Hashem Loi Oid, Hashem tells Moshe, Hovin Yodcha Bechikacha, put your hand into your bosom, and he takes it out, and it's covered with saras. So we see Biyad Moshe means with the hand of Moshe, so anybody in the future who acts like Korach and is machzik b'machlokas is in danger of being like the hand of Moshe and getting tzaras. We find an example of it later on in Jewish history where King Uzziyahu went to try to bring tzaras and he was punished with tzaras. In this connection, the Gemara continues on the topic of machlokas. Amar Rabbi Yosi, kol acholik amalchus beis David, a person who argues against Malchus Beis David, Roy Lakishin Nochosh, deserves to be bitten by a snake. Why Dafka snake? Kamar Shah says because originally, before the Chetei Tadas, the snake was the king over all the animals, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. It had legs, and it would have been a very useful servant for human beings, and instead it got all that cut off, and instead it lost all that privilege, and it became just a snake. So therefore, so now, in token of that, a person who argues against Malchus Beis David, which is the kingship of the Jewish people, so he deserves to be bitten by the snake, which used to be the king. Ben Yoyada points out a number of other points in it, and the word Nochash is Gematria Mashiach, and in addition we find that Yishai himself is called Nochash in a Pasuk, because the Gemara mentions elsewhere, because Meis Be'etiyah Shal Nochash, he passed away only because of the Nochash HaKadmoni and not because of any Averis of his own. So there's several reasons why he deserves to be punished by Nochash, and we see that Ksiv Hocha, you have in connection with Adoni Yohu at the beginning of Sefer Melachim, it's in the Haftarah of Chayesara, where he's trying to, he gets to get himself together a following, and he tries to get himself made king. And the pasuk describes that, and this is going against David, and this is going against Malchus based David, because David had already sworn that Shlomo is going to be the king. And the pasuk says, "Vayizvah Adoni Yohu tzonu voko emri." Adoni Yohu brought as a shechted sheep and cattle and fattened cattle im even has zechelas. Next to the Zechelas stone. Now the Zechelas stone, the simple meaning, it means that it was a stone that was just the name of the stone. Rashi elsewhere on the pasuk explains that it was a stone that would move gradually, slowly over time. Zechelas, like it crawled, because like people would use it for strength contests to see if they could move it. So therefore, gradually over time, it moved a little bit. But here the Gemara is darshaning uchtivasam im chamas zechalei offer. We have an hazinu that Hashem says the poison, the venom of those that slither in the dust, zechelas, zechale, the same shortage as zechelas. So we see that Adoni Yohu deserved to be bitten by a snake for arguing against Malchus Beis David. Okay, more on this topic of machloikas with someone that you're not supposed to. When a person argues against his Rebbe, it's as if he's arguing with the Shechina. Now, it doesn't mean arguing in Halacha. We find all over the case in Gemara and in Rishonim and Achronim that people argue in Halacha with their Rebbein. What it means is, the poskim so the Rambam brings and the poskim after him all bring means that he's arguing against his Rebbe's yeshiva in the sense that Rashi actually already says it over here. He's arguing on his Rebbe's yeshiva, meaning in other words the Rambam teaches out that it means in other words that he goes and says I don't need to be a part of my Rebbe's yeshiva anymore. I'm independent. I'm going to go and set myself up as an independent rav and set up my own independent yeshiva here in town or go set myself up as a rav or whatever. So then he's like arguing with the Shechina. Shenema, as the pasuk says about Korah, Batsoisam al Hashem, when they argued against Hashem. Now they weren't; they were arguing with Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's considered as though they were arguing with Hashem because they were setting up. They're arguing with Moshe's yeshiva and with Moshe's Torah. The Gemara continues: Amar Rav Chama b'Rav Chanina, Kol Oisa Meriva im Rabbi, a person who fights with his Rebbe, Kol Oisa im Shechina, is also as if he's fighting with the Shechina. Cholak al Rabbi would just mean he argues with him, or he sets himself up as something independent. Oisa Meriva im Rabbi would mean that he actually fights with him. He actually starts up a fight with him, like Korach did. So being argumentative against him. Shenema, Hema Me Meriva, as the Pasuk says, those are the waters of the Meriva, of the waters of arguing. Asher Rovu Bnei Yisrael Al Es Hashem, that the Jewish people argued against Hashem. And now again, they didn't argue against Hashem, they argued against Moshe, by Yorava Amin Moshe, it says a few Pesukim earlier. Nevertheless, it's considered as though they fought and argued with Hashem. Similarly, Omer Rav Chanina bar Papa Kama Mitzrayim al Rabbi. Anybody who's angry about his Rebbe, that he says, he claims, Rashi says, he claims that his Rebbe is acting to him in a mean way. So Kiyilam Mitzrayim al Shechina is as if he's making such complaints against the Shechina. Shenemar, we find also that Moshe says to the Jewish people when they're complaining we don't have food, and Moshe tells them, Loi Aleinu Sloneseichem Ki Al Hashem. You're not arguing on us. You're arguing on Hashem. Now again, they're arguing at Moshe, but Moshe told them that this is tantamount to arguing at Hashem. And another one, Omer Ababohu, Kol Maharer Achar Rabbi, when a person is thinking badly about his Rebbe, Rashi says Mechapa Olav Dvarim, he's making up things about him, saying that he's acting to him improperly. So Kilo Maharer Achar Shchina is as if he's doing that against Hashem. Shenemar, Vayidabar Omer, Lekimu HaMoshe, as the pasuk says, the people spoke against Hashem and against Moshe. Now, what do you mean? It doesn't say they were speaking against Hashem, it just says against Moshe. But again, it means that they're considered as though they're complaining against the Shechina. With each one of them, our show goes into some arichos explaining the relevant psukim over there that we see that each one. For example, with May Meriva, now they are in fact also they're not just doing a Meriva, they're doing a Tarumas, they're doing a complaint. Marshall explains. For example, that what happened was, we see that the main thing was the Meriva, that they're arguing, and the result was that Moshe hit the rock, and he and Aaron lost the chance to go into Eretz Yisrael, so we see that the Meriva was the main thing. And we see, and similarly with each of the other cases, we can say there was more than one thing over there, but we're talking about the greater thing that there was in each case. When it comes to the Mon, when it comes to before the Mon fell, where they're complaining, if only we died in the desert here, we were comfortable in Mitzrayim, and Moshe says, listen, we know where you see you arguing on us, and you don't really care, but you should realize you're arguing on Hashem as well. And when it comes to Maharar Acharabe, where again Machapa Olav Dvarim, he's making up things that are not true. So that's, for example, when they complain about the Mon in Parshas Chukas, and they're saying it's Lechem Akloitil, it's insubstantial bread. So that was Maharar Acharabe, where they're making up something which is not true, saying bad things about the Mon. The Gemara continues, getting back to Korach. The pasuk says, "Oisho shamul of olav la'ra'asai." Wealth is stored up; it is kept for its owner for his detriment, for his evil. So, Amar Shlokesh, the Oisho shel Korach. This refers to Korach's wealth, that because he was wealthy, that he became a Baal Gaiva, and that's what caused him to, that's what motivated him to argue against Moshe. And in the end, so the fact that he was destroyed was all because of his wealth. Similarly, when the pasuk says later on in Parshas Ekev, when Moshe tells over the story, he says that Hashem swallowed up into the ground the eis kol yikum asher b'raglayhem, all the yikum that was at their feet. So what is yikum? Amar Rav Elazar, zeh mamona shel adam shema'amidah aragla. This refers to a person's wealth that makes him stand on his feet and makes him happy. So again, the same idea, it being, in other words, it made them happy and it made them self-confident and it made them ready to go and argue against Moshe. So the Gemara says, "V'omer Rablevi." Rablevi says, "You want to know how rich Korach was? Masi shlosh meis prodis pirdis levonis. There was the amount that it would take 300 white mules to carry. Mules are very strong creatures. White mules, we find elsewhere in the Gemara, are very dangerous creatures. Their bite or their kick causes a permanent injury that never heals. So therefore, Korach dafka used them, so nobody should dare come close to his treasures." But anyway, that's how Marshall explains. Anyway, he had 300 white donkeys, just the keys to Korach's treasuries, took 300 white donkeys to carry. Okay, to be sure, often the Gemara uses 300 as a guzma, but still, it means it's an enormous amount. And this is even though all the locks and all the keys were made out of leather, which is lighter than metal, and people would do that. In fact, when they have a large burden, they would make leather containers and leather locks instead, but even so, it took that many. It took that many mules to carry it all. Okay. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Chama b'Rav Chanina, Sholosh Makmonius Hitmin Yosef in Mitzrayim. Yosef buried 3 treasures in Mitzrayim with all the gold and silver that came during the years of the famine that he was selling food and everything to people." One of them was revealed to Korach, and that's how he became so fabulously wealthy. The second one was found by Antoninus ben Asvirus, whether that's the same Antoninus who was the friend of Rebbe, or whether it was a different one, I don't know. There were several Roman emperors that had the name Antoninus as part of their name, so it might be a different one. And another one was hidden away from the Tzaddikim, and they'll have it when Mashiach comes. The significance of these 3, Ben Yehoyada explains, among the people who came to Yosef to buy grain and gave him money, there were 3 different groups of people. You had people who were actual Ovdei Avodah Zarah, so we don't want their money, so therefore Hashem caused it to end up by Korach, and it got swallowed up in the ground. Then you have the people who are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but they stole and they did other things, and they gained their money dishonestly. So therefore, fine, we don't want Jews to have that, but instead it ended up by Antoninus ben Asimilus. The 3rd one would be people who were Chassidim Masa'olam, people who kept Shev Mitzvah Min Noach. So therefore, that money deserves to be in Kedusha, and therefore the Tzaddikim will have it lost in Lavi. Okay. The Gemara continues, "V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Korach loymina bluim v'loymina srufin. Korach was not. Now we know, we see in the psukim that there were different groups. You had the people from Korach's gang who wound up swallowed up into the ground, Dustin and Aviram and the rest of them, and then you have the 250 people who brought the Torahs who were burnt in a fire. So now Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Korach was in neither group. And one point is, again, you know, given what we were saying before, that Korach himself was not such a bad person, and Adrabah, what he was thinking of is a very great, important thing in terms of the Levium versus the Kohanim, so therefore he doesn't necessarily deserve to be punished with these gross ways of being burned or swallowed up into the ground. In other words, the point would be he died late, so he didn't survive the whole thing. He did die later on in the plague. Later on, there was a plague that struck the Jews who were still complaining against Moshe, so then according to that, he was one of the casualties in that. Actually, the Chassam Sofer says that, and that makes it even worse for him. The Chassam Sofer says, you think about it, it means that he was now stripped of all of his wealth and his power and his following and everything, and then he himself dies in the plague. So according to that, Rabbi Yochanan is trying to say that he was worse off than anybody else. But again, there are explanations that it means that in the way, he's better than everybody else, because after all, he is on a higher level than them. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Loimina Bluin, he wasn't one of the ones swallowed on the ground, dichtiv, because the apostle says, the Eis Kolah Odom, Asher LeKorach, all the people who belong to Korach, implying Velo Korach Atma, implying but not Korach himself. Veloimina Srufim, and Rabbi Yochanan says he wasn't one of the ones who were burnt. Dichtiv, because the pasuk says, "V'achol lo ish, es chamishim lo sain ish." When the fire consumed the 250 men, that means only the 250, v'loy Korach. Korach himself had gathered together those 250. He himself is not one of them. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, that he wasn't from either group. On the other hand, Masnisa Tana, in a braisa, we learn the other way around, Korach minasrufin umina bluin. Korach was both. He was burnt and he was swallowed up into the ground. So that can mean. That if Rashi explains that his neshama was burnt, like with Nadav and Avihu, and then his guf was still intact, and then his guf rolled into the hole in the ground, and then got swallowed up in there. Basically he was burnt, and then he fell into the ground. In fact, the Medrash says on it that actually the reason it's only fair that way, otherwise the Surufim are going to say, why Korach is the ringleader who got into all of this, why isn't he got the same punishment as us? And the Bluim would say the same thing, and therefore, according to that, Korach had to be from both. Mina Bluim dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Vativla Oysim v'es Korach, because the Pasuk says, it swallowed them up and Korach. Now, what would Rabbi Yochanan do with that? Rabbi Yochanan would explain that the words v'es Korach are referring to earlier in the pasuk. V'tivla oisam, and swallow them. V'es Korach, l'mosa eda, and in addition, Korach died together with the rest of the people. Minasrufin, and the Braisa says he was one of the ones who was burnt. Dichtiv, because the pasuk is v'teitza eish melifne Hashem, or actually the eish yosa melifne Hashem, a fire came out from before Hashem. V'teichal eish chamishim wasayim ish, and it consumed the Korach, and it consumed the 250 people, and the Korach v'hadayu. And the pasuk is makriveak Torahs, the ones who offered the Torahs. Well, Korach was one of the ones who offered Torahs as well. So therefore, it would mean that he had to have been included as well. Rashi gives a second explanation. So first of all, again, because it says, Amishim Mosayim Ish Makrivei HaKtoras, those who offered the Ktoras, so Korach was one of the ones who offered Ktoras, therefore he had to be burned. And in addition, Rashi says the word Ve'es comes to include Korach as well. There are quite a few places in Rabbi Levi Yitzchak's writings, or the Rebbe's father, that talks about that Korach has to do a lot with Olam HaTohu. And that was why the whole thing with the Machlokas over here. So he explains, among other things, that since we find that the first king of Edom, who has to do with Olam HaTohu, who has to do with Shvedas HaKelim, and all that, is called Bela ben Be'er. Bela literally means swallowing up. Be'er means burnt. So therefore, that fits very well with what we're saying over here, that Korach, whose neshama descends from that concept, was both burnt and swallowed up. The Gemara continues, Amar Rava, my dichtiv, Posuk says in Chavakuk, it's in after the second day Shavuos, Shemesh Yareach Omad Zvula, sun and moon stood in Zvula. Now the Gemara explains in Chagiga that there are seven heavens, and Zvul is there you have Rakia, which is where the sun and moon and stars are located, and then you have Zvul, which is a couple of heavens higher up, which is where there's a Mizbeach over there, and Michal brings Karbonis. So, and the pasuk continues, "La'orchit secha yahalechu." They go by the light of your arrows. So, what do you mean? So, what are the shemesh and yireach doing in Zvul? Melamed Sha'olu Shemesh Yereach L'Zvul. This teaches us that at that time of the Machlokas of Korach, the sun and the moon, in fact, went up to Zvul to complain. They said, Rebbeinu Shalom, Im Ata Oseh Din LeBen Amram, if you execute judgment on behalf of Ben Amram, on behalf of Moshe, Neitzeh, then we will go out and illuminate the world. V'im Lav, and if not, Loi Neitzeh, then we're not going out. Now, what does all this mean? This Gemara is also in the Nedarim. The Rashba gives a long explanation over there. The gist is, everything in the world was created for the sake of tzaddikim and for the sake of the avoda that they do in this world. So now the sun and moon are saying, basically, if you're going to have Korach and his gang are going to get their way and they're going to successfully fight against Moshe and you're not going to stand up on behalf of Moshe, then there doesn't need to be a world and there doesn't need to be a sun and a moon illuminating for it. So we don't want to anymore. Why they went up to Zvul is particularly, the Marsha explains over there, because Zvul, again, was saying, is where there's a Mizbeach and Michal bringing Korbanos, so therefore they're saying, look, Korach and company are trying to interfere with the Korbanos. They're trying to say that Korach is trying to say he should be the Kohen Gadol, so therefore, Hashem, you have to do something about it. But Adcha Zorak Behem Chitzim, but then Hashem answered them by shooting arrows at them, which is why the pasuk says, "Urchitzecha yahalechu." Omelan, he says to the sun and moon, "Bekvodi lemechisem." You never were moicha for my coven. People are worshiping. Goyim are worshiping the sun and the moon, and you never protested about that. Bekvod boss of Adam mechisem. All of a sudden, when the honor of a boss of Adam, Moshe, is at stake, then you're protesting. So therefore, go out and shine anyway. Marshall points out, in fact, you know, you have the pasuk over there in Parshas Korach, says that Moshe tells Korach and company, he says, "Boiker, in the morning, v'yoda Hashem es ha-shaloi, that Hashem will inform us what the truth is." So he explains, because Moshe knew what's going on in Shemayim, he knew that the sun and moon are making this protest, and therefore he figured, very likely, the sun is not going to shine tomorrow morning, because, unless Hashem stands up for me. So therefore he can tell them, in the morning, you'll see that I'm right. But in the end, Hashem forced the sun to shine regardless. But Idna, nowadays, Leinafki, Ad-Mocholahu, nowadays, the sun and moon won't go out until every day they have to be struck in order to do that. So Rashi says it means, first of all, because Hashem made this Gzeira on them because of that, because they failed to show respect for Hashem's honor up until that point, then therefore from now on, when they go out, they have to be struck and forced to go and do their job. Rashi gives a second explanation. They're saying, you know, Hashem has a point. All this time, why for 2,500 years have we not been protesting when Goyim are worshipping the sun and the moon, are worshipping us? So it's true. From now on, we should stop shining as long as people are doing that. And therefore, from now on, every day, Hashem has to force them with spears and arrows to go out and do their job. Because as the Gemara says elsewhere, Ya'abad Olamim Mipnei Ashoikim, as the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Hashem is not going to destroy his world just because of foolish people who misuse it. All right, the Gemara continues, Dorash Rava, my dichtiv, what does it mean? Moshe says, the Ibriya Yivra Hashem, Moshe says, if Hashem creates a new creation, Ufatisaha Adama Aspiha, and the ground will open up its mouth. So why is Moshe using the word Bria, which suggests something Yesh Me'ayin? Oma Moshe, if now Kodesh Baruch Hu, Im Bria Gehenim, if Gehenim has already been created, Mutav, then good, and they'll be punished in it. The Imlav, and if not, Yivra Hashem, then Hashem create Gehenim right now. So the Gemara says, Lamai, as far as what? What do you mean? That he's asking to be created. Elam the Mivri Imamish, do you mean to create it new, that it may not have existed before, and now Hashem should bring it into existence? As we know, the Pasuk says there's nothing new under the sun, since Sheshes and Ebereshes, Hashem doesn't create anything new. Ella, no, Lekarubi Pischa, all Moshe is asking is to have the mouth brought closer. That should be right here where it's needed. In the Gemara, that same Gemara in Nedarim actually gives more detail about it. The Gemara says, how could Moshe even think in the first place that there wasn't a Gehenim until now? The Braisa says that there were seven things created before the world, and one of them is Gehenim. So then the Gemara says, but they're fine. It means a mouth to Gehenim. But still, the Gemara says Moshe knew that there were mouths to Gehenim. So therefore, that's the Gemara ends up answering over there, the same as over here, that he's saying that I know Gehenim already has a mouth, but bring it over here so that they can fall into it. Okay. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, "Uvnei Korach leMezu." The sons of Korach did not die. So what happened to them? Tana Mishum Rabbeinu Omru. We learn in a Braisa that they said in the name of Rabbeinu, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Anosi, Mokem Nisbatzu Lahem B'Gehenim, a high place was established for them in Gehenim. So the Rashi says, Nisbatsim, Loshon Ir Betzura, fortified city. So a high place where they won't be so far down in Gehenim. The Yoshua Olav, and they sat on that. But Omru Shira, and they said Shira, and they sang to Hashem. Because they had done a degree of tshuva, the Medrash says that they'd originally joined Korach and his whole thing. But now, when everything was starting to happen, they had thoughts of tshuva, and therefore Hashem saved them, and they didn't fall into the depths of Gehenim like everybody else. What Shira did they sing? Marsha says that they sang Kapitel Pei Ches of Tilim, Shir Mizmor Levnei Korach, Lamnaseach HaMachlas La'anus, Matzaleim and Ezrachi. And you have many psukim over there that reflect what they were going through over there. Hayizah Nechshavti Im Yodei Bor, I'm considered with all of those who go down to the pit, and Chaya L'Sho'el Higiu, my life has reached all the way down to Sho'el, Shatani Mavur, and the whole thing, Lamaseach HaMachlas, he says, in fact, is Lamaseach HaMachlas, is they're saying this Shira to Hashem in token of that he forgave them, that he was Moichel them. In fact, Marsha says also the same B'nai Korach also composed Kapitel Memtes, which talks about, in Kapitel Memtes, you have where it talks about a person's wealth can't save him, which is all about what happened to their father Korach and all his wealth. The Zohar actually gives a different point. The Zohar says that actually the song that they sang there is Kapitel Memches, God al Hashem Mahul Ma'od, Be'er Lekenu HaKodshe, which we say is Shir Shoyom for Monday. Later on, it says, by the way, they came out of there, which is how they became the ancestors of, Elkanah and Shmuel and all of the B'nai Korach that are mentioned in various places in Tanakh. So they eventually came out of there. The Gemara tells, Amar Rabba Baba Chana, we have the story in Baba Basra as well, Zimna Chada Havaka Azilna Ba'urcha, one time I was traveling on the road, Amar Yahu Taya, an Arab merchant tells me, Tov Achlilach Blue de Korach, come and I'll show you the place where Korach and his group were swallowed up into the ground. Ozil, so he went, Chozat Shrei Bizi, he saw there were two cracks in the ground, Davakanofa Kitchraminaihu, where smoke is coming out of the two cracks. The two cracks, among other things, represent the two different aspects in which they were arguing against Moshe. Shoko Gvova Damra, the Arab took a piece of hank of wool, Amshie Maya, he soaked it in water, so it would be as much as possible fireproof, he stuck it onto the end of his spear, and he passed it by the hole where smoke was coming out, and the smoke was so intense, ichrach, that wool got burnt a little bit, even though it was wet. Then Omale, the Arab, tells Rabba Bachana, Atsis Mashamat, pay attention, listen closely to what you're going to hear. Vashamat Stavu Akamri Hochi. So Rabba Bachana says, I heard them saying as follows: Moshe v'serose emes, Moshe and his Torah are true, v'hem v'adoyim, and they, meaning we, are liars. So they recognize that they had argued falsely against Moshe. Omali, so the Arab says to Rabba Bachana, Kol Tlosin Yoimin, every 30 days, Mahadra Lahu Gehenim Kibosa Basir Kalochas. Gehenim circles back around to here like meat in a pot. In other words, you have to picture it, that Gehenim is a huge underground cavern where every day the place in Gehenim where they are is under a different part of the earth, and once every 30 days it comes back over here like when you stew meat in a pot. Marshal in Baba Basra explains that particularly in Rosh Chodesh. He explains that Korach's argument, again, he argued Kichol Eidu Kulam Kedoshim, the entire congregation are holy. That means Korach was arguing, why should we have one Kohen Gadol for the entire Jewish people? We should have a different Kohen Gadol from each Shevet. The Shvatim represent the months. So therefore, in particular, every Rosh Chodesh, they're brought back here and made again and again to realize their mistake and to say, Moshe Emes, Vesedosa Emes. So every month they come to a greater realization of what they did wrong, because every month was what they were trying to make to begin with, that the Jewish people should be separated into 12 different groups. Marsha over there explains the symbolism of several of the things that we're saying over here. The piece of wool that got singed but not burnt represents B'nai Korach, or as we just said, they fell into Gehenna but they didn't get completely burnt. Sticking it on the spear represents that they had a high place in Gehenim, like we just said, like a spear is high up, etc. So in other words, in short, he's being shown the symbolism behind what happened to B'nai, behind what happened to Korach and his whole group. Next, the Mishnah had said, Dura Midbar ein lam chelik lam abba. Dura Midbar has no chelik lam abba. Although again, as we pointed out before, there's various places that say that they do have a chelik lam abba. Even in our Gemara over here, we're going to have different opinions on that. The Zohar makes it very clear. They do have a chelik lam abba. There's a famous medrash that Hashem told Moshe, you have to remain behind in the Midbar. You can't go into Eretz Yisrael because you're going to lead their neshamas. La'asid lavoi. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanon, Dura Midbar Ein Lam Chelek Lam Abba. The Dura Midbar, according to this opinion, has no opinion on Lam Abba. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, as we learned in the Mishnah, Ba Midbar Azei Yitamu, in this desert, they will disappear. The Sham Yamusu, and there they will die. Yitamu, Ba Olam Azeh, Sham Yamusu, Ba Olam Abba. So the double expression means Olam Azeh and Olam Abba, says Rabbi Akiva. Va Omar, and we have another Pasuk that shows that they don't come to Olam Abba. Hashem says, Asher nishvati va'api, that I swore in my anger, im yivoyun omenu chosi, if, meaning that they will not come to my resting place. And my resting place means Gan Eden, where the neshamas have rest. Marsha points out, it can't mean just coming into Eretz Yisrael, because they didn't have rest in Eretz Yisrael for several hundred years after that either. So therefore it has to mean the rest of Gan Eden. So divrei Rabbi Akiva, that's what Rabbi Akiva says. Rabbi Yezer says, no. No, they are coming to Olam Abba. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, if you learned in the Mishnah, Isfuli Chasidai, gather together to me my Chasidim, Kursei Vrisi Alei Zavach, who cut and made a covenant with me over a korban. So then they received the Torah and they brought korbanos at the time and Moshe sprinkled the blood and hine gam abris. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says the pasuk is saying, Hashem is saying, gather them together to me. So therefore, that means the Dora Midbar. That means the generation who received the Torah. So the Isfu, Maharsha explains, means, in other words, Isfu can also mean to pass away, like Vayosif al Amav. So it means yes, they're going to have a death, but it's going to be only a temporary thing, and they are going to come alive and come to Olam Abba. Ella, so Rabbi Eliezer says, Alamani Mekayim Asher Nishbati Ba'api. What about the pasuk that you just quoted, Rabbi Akiva, Asher Nishbati Ba'api? Which, fine, it's clear that that refers to the Dora Midbar, because Rashi points out the previous pasuk says, Avoyim Shana Okut Pedor, that for 40 years I was arguing with that generation. So what do I do with the pasuk that says that you're saying Ba'api Nishbati Ba'api? It means Ba'api Nishbati V'chizrani Bi. Hashem is saying, I swore in my anger, but now, so to speak, I take it back, and I'm being Matu Neder, and therefore they are going to have a place in Olam Abba. In fact, the Gemara elsewhere brings this as one of the sources in a pasuk for the concept of Ataras Nedarim. You don't really have the concept of Ataras Nedarim is not really explicitly anywhere in Chumash. We have a bunch of opinions about where we learn it from, and one of them is from this pasuk, Asher Nishbati Ba'api, where Hashem is implying that I swore only in my anger, but then now I'm able to be Matir Nedar. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Omer, loy nema, posik ze ela kenegu duris aboyim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, you know what, that posik, Rabbi Yezer, that you're bringing, is fully chasidai, that posik is actually referring to future generations, not referring to the Dora Midbar. Elsewhere, by the way, Tosfos points out that Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha may be a son of Rabbi Akiva. Tosfos points out Korcha may be a nickname for Rabbi Akiva because he was bald. In that case, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha wants to defend his father's position. Anyway, when he says, Isfuli chasidai, gather together me my chasidim, eluk tzaddikim, shemachol dervader, that refers to the tzaddikim, or the chasidim, it says on the side, in every generation. And when it says, kursei grisi, those who cut a covenant, those who made a covenant with me, alay zavach, on a korban, kursei grisi, eluk chanani mishol v'azariah, shemosru asma mesech kivshen eish. That's chanani mishol v'azariah, who, as we learned earlier in the parak, they went on mesiras nefesh, in order to uphold the covenant of Hashem, and not worship avodah zarah. And alay zavach, when the pasuk continues, on a korban, that refers to Rabbi Akiva and his chaverim, the Asara Arugim Alchus, Shemosru Atzim and the Shchita al Divrei Torah, who went and were moist in nefesh and were killed for words of Torah. So therefore, says Rabbi Yisrael ben Kocha, nothing in that passage is referring to the Dora Midbar, but it's referring to the people of later generations who went on Masiras Nefesh. The Gemara continues, Reb Shimon Menasya, Reb Shimon Menasya says, like Rabbi Eliezer, they are going to come Lo'olam Haba. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Fuduya Hashem Yeshuvon, those who were redeemed by Hashem will return, meaning the Dor HaMidbar who were originally redeemed by Hashem and taken out of Mitzrayim, now they'll return again, Uvo Tzion, Berina, and they will come to Tzion with singing. So we see that they were the original Fuduya Hashem, they were the ones who were redeemed by Hashem, and therefore now they're going to come back again. One of those sichas on the topic of the Dor HaMidbar, actually in Chelek Chof Gimel, the Rebbe comments on the point. Moshe uses the expression when he's arguing with Hashem to spare the Jews and not kill them right away. Hashem says the goyim are going to say vayishchotim b'midbar, that he shechted them in the desert. So the Rebbe develops the idea in that sicha, shechting an animal to bring it to a higher level. Now it becomes able to be eaten for food. So if Hashem kills the Jewish people in the Midbar, the goyim are going to, to a certain extent, they're going to understand it's in order to bring them to a higher level and bring them to Olam Haba. But nevertheless, they're going to say that it means that Hashem can't bring them into Eretz Yisrael now. So Moshe pleads, don't do that. Don't do Vayishchotim. Instead, let them be elevated in a different way. And in fact, Moshe himself, again, stays with them in the Midbar and will bring them back lost in Lavi. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Abba Machana, Amar Rav Yechanan, Shavka Rav Akiva L'chassidusei. Rav Akiva seems in this case to have abandoned his chassidus. Usually Rabbi Akiva is always out to look for the best for the Jewish people, and now he's saying of an entire generation, Dor HaMidbar, Ein Lehem Chelek L'Olam Haba. So why is it? He seems to be inconsistent with his usual way of trying to be Melamed Zchus on Jewish people. At the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara is going to explain where we see that Rabbi Akiva is usually looks to defend Jews and try to bring them to Olam Haba. And after all, there's a pasuk. Fine, Rabbi Akiva has psukim from which he darshins that they lost their place in Olam Haba. But after all, there's another pasuk that he could have darshined to say the opposite. Kenema, Hashem says to Yirmiyah, Holech b'koros na'ba'ozni Yerushalayim leimer, go and call out in the ears, in the hearing of the people of Yerushalayim, and say, Zachauti lo chesed ne'urayich, I remember for you the kindness of your youth, your youth as a people when you were first brought out of Mitzrayim, avas klal esayich, the love of your wedding. Lechtech acharei b'midbar, when you followed me in the desert, be'eretz lo zrua, in a land that was not planted, and Hashem is saying that, tell them that in the schus of the Dor HaMidbar, that Hashem is willing to help the Jewish people of now also, and help them do tshuva, and then everything should be good. So, Rabbi Baba Chana says, ma'acherem boim v'schusam, if you're telling me that even Yirmiyahu's generation, hundreds of years later, could be saved, and then be brought to Olam Haba, in the schus of the Dor HaMidbar, hein atzmam, like Koshikin, how much more so they themselves come to Chai Olam Haba? So why is Rabbi Akiva saying, why is Rabbi Akiva just dismissing them and writing them off and saying they have no place in Olam Haba, when he could have easily darshened this pasuk to the contrary? Again, there is the explanation of Pichsidus that it means that he's saying that they don't need Olam Haba because they're beyond that whole thing. So in that case, then we can explain it that way. The Mishnah says, Aseres HaShvatim Ein Rasidin Lachzer. The Aseres HaShvatim that were taken into Golos by Sancheirev are never going to return. Rashi points out that the Gemara elsewhere explains, the Gemara says in a couple of other places, that Yirmiyah brought them back. The answer is, Rashi says, it doesn't mean he brought them all back. He brought some of them back. So now, so he brought some of them back, but the ones who he didn't bring back remained in Golos, and the Tanakhama, Rabbi Akiva, and our Mishnah, is saying over here that they're not going to come back. There is a machloikas also, Rishonim discuss, do we mean Ein Asidin Lachzer, do we mean that we're not going to return to Eretz Yisrael, but they still have a Chelek L'Olam Haba, or do we mean that they have no Chelek L'Olam Haba either? Because you, after all, use an expression, Ein Asidin Lachzer, they're not going to return. So does that mean just they're not going to return to the physical Eretz Yisrael, but they still have Olam Haba? Or does it mean that they don't have either one? In addition, you also have, for example, the Ran explains that he means only the actual people themselves in that generation who were taken into exile by Sancheirev. They were Rishonim, they were worshipping Abba Dezara. They mocked Eretz Yisrael, as we learned earlier in the Perek. So therefore, because of that, then they're not returning. But their descendants, says the Ran, would be included. So Rashi actually himself goes on and discusses over here that it means that. So Rashi mentions the same point. Actually, we mean the ones themselves who were taken into Golos, they were Rishoyim Gmurim, but their descendants will have. And the Ran expands on that point and says that yeah, that's what it means. So anyway, that's the ones of Rabbi Akiva. They, the original ones who went into Golos, are not going to return. But again, Rashi himself has two explanations, whether we mean returning to Eretz Yisrael, or whether we mean returning as in that they're going to have a place in Olam Haba. So shenema, the pasuk is vayashlichim al eretz acheres kayoyim hazeh. Hashem threw them away to a different land, as of this day. So, what do we learn from the word kayoyim hazeh? Ma hayoyim holach v'ein chozer. A day goes away and never returns. The same day never returns. Achem holachim v'ein chozer. The same way they were thrown away and they're never returning back. Give it Rabbi Akiva. That's how Rabbi Akiva learns. Rabbi Eliezer, again, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees and says, on the contrary, kayoyim hazeh means just like this day. Ma yoyim mafil meir. Just like the day you have darkness and then you have light later in the day. Afa seres hashvatim shafel lahem. The same way they are seres hashvatim for whom now it's dark. There will be an illumination for them in the future that Hashem will bring them back. It means in the morning it's dark, and then later in the day it's lighter. It means in the evening it's dark, and then in the next day it's lighter. So the same way they're going to come back. So again, according to the different explanations, do we mean that Rabbi Eliezer is saying they're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, or does it mean they're going to come back to Olam Haba, or both? But also, in addition, you also have the fact that Rashi is saying that Yumiya brought many of them back. So therefore, there's an explanation that it can mean actually that therefore, there will be all the Shvatim will be present when Mashiach comes. And that's fine because even now we have representatives of all the 12 Shvatim among us from the descendants of those who Yumiya brought back. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Aseres HaShvatim Ein Lahem Chelek Olam Haba. Yeah, so Shvatim have no place in Olam Haba, or the different Girsa on the side ain't a sit in Lach, so they're not going to return. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, the Gemara is going to quote, the Mishnah had quoted the Pasuk by Ashlichim al Eretz Acheres. The Braisa here is going to quote the whole Pasuk. By Yitchem Hashem Ma'alad Masem, Hashem removed them from their land, Ba'af of Achemo of Ketzef Godel, with anger and fury and tremendous Af and Chema and Ketzef are all various words for Hashem's anger. So, Vayichem Hashem Alad Masam Ba'olam Hazeh. When it says Hashem removed them from their land, that means in this world. Vayashlichem Al Eretz Acheres. When it says He threw them away to another land, means Ba'olam Haba, means even in Olam Haba. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda ish Kfar Akor in Mishum Reb Shimon. On the other hand, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda from Kfar Akor says in the name of Reb Shimon that no, it's not necessarily the Ganus. When the Pasuk says Kayoim Hazeh, now here in the Mishnah we had Rabbi Akiva and said Kayoim Hazeh means like a day goes and never returns. And Rabbi Eliezer said it means like a day is dark and then becomes light. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda is saying a third possibility. If their deeds are like they are on this day when they went into Golos, then they're not going to return. But if they do tshuva, then their deeds are not like they were when they went into Golos, then they are returning. So when everybody else returns, then they'll return as well, and they will come out of Golos, and they will have a chelek on Olam Haba. And then you have another opinion, as we had in the Mishnah. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, like Rebbe Eliezer in the Mishnah, Boim heim la'olam haba, they are coming to Olam Haba. Shenema ba'yom ahu, you talk about shofar gadol v'gomer. As the pasuk says, on that day, the great shofar will be blown, and everybody who comes, Me'eretz Asher and Me'eretz Mitzrayim will come, and Eretz Asher is precisely where the Aseres HaShvatim were taken into Golos. So the pasuk is implying that they will, in fact, that they will, in fact, come back. So therefore, Hanidochem be'eretz Asher, Marashah points out, has to refer to the Aseres HaShvatim. Yehuda and Binyamin were not taken to Asher, they were taken to Babel. So therefore, Hanidochem be'eretz Asher must mean the Aseres HaShvatim. So again, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Abachana, Amar Abichanan, Shavka Rabbi Akiva l'chassidusei. Again, Rabbi Akiva over here also seems to have abandoned his chassidus. Usually Rabbi Akiva, as the Gemara is going to give an example, is always so out to look for that every yid should have a place in Olam Haba, and here he's writing off the entire Aseres HaShvatim, or at least the original ones of them who went into Golos or whatever. Shenema, and again, there's a pasuk that he could have used to the contrary. Shenema, you have a pasuk in Yirmiya, Holech b'korosas advonama eilat safoina. Hashem tells Yirmiya, go call these words that I'm telling you northward, which is to the north, where the Aseres HaShvatim had been taken into Golos about 100 years earlier. And you should tell them, Shuva, Mishuva Yisrael, return, you return Jewish people, Ne'um Hashem, says Hashem, and Yisrael over here has to refer to the Aseres HaShvatim, because in the Marsha points out, the earlier Pesukim refers separately to Yehuda and Binyamin. So Yisrael over here means not the collective Jewish people, means the Aseres HaShvatim, whose kingdom was called Yisrael. So Hashem says, V'le'apel ponai b'chem, I will not throw down my face at you, meaning my anger, for face in Tanakh often means anger, so I won't throw down my anger at you, because I, says Hashem, am a chosid, I will not bear a grudge against you forever. So we see, in other words, the Pasuk is making it very clear that the Aseres HaShevatim have a future. So here, Rabbi Akiva could have darshan that Pasuk to say that they have a future and they're coming to Olam Haba. What Rabbi Akiva would darshan with it, given that he didn't, but Pashtus, he would say that that's where Yirmiyah is going, where Hashem sends Yirmiyah to bring people from the Aseres HaShevatim back. But so Hashem is sending him to do that, and he's telling them, Hashem is giving you another chance, Hashem is going to send me to bring you back from that Golos to Eretz Yisrael. Well, the Gemara says, my chassidus, where do we see that Rabbi Akiva was particularly a chassid and that he's always looking to defend the Jews? Gitanya, we learn in a braisa, Gitane bnei Rishay Yisrael, the little children of Rishoyim, of Jewish people. So the Rishoyim themselves, Rashi explains, these are talking about Rishoyim who themselves have lost their chelek l'olam haba. What about their little children, where they haven't done any averus yet? So the braisa says, ein boin l'olam haba. Those little children are also not coming l'olam haba. Shenema, the pasuk says, ki hine ayoyim bo boyer katanur. Behold, the day is coming which will burn hot like an oven. All the deliberate sinners and all those who did wickedness will be like straw. This is after Torah, this coming Shabbos HaGadol. The coming day will burn them up. Omar Hashem Tzvakas, so says Hashem Tzvakas, Asher LaYazav Lahem, Shodash V'anach, and it will not leave over for them a root or a branch. So, Rabbi Gamliel Darshan's Shodash Va'olam Azeva Onaf La'olam Haba. So it means these are Rishoyim who are going to be destroyed by that. Not only are they not left with a root in Olam Azeh, they're not being left with a root in Olam Azeh, meaning that their children will die young, Rachman Al-Flan, and they won't have a branch in Olam Haba. So even though their ancestors were Rishoyim, so because their ancestors were Rishoyim, that because their fathers were Rishoyim, so even though they have not themselves done Averis, but the Rabbi Gamliel is willing in the pasuk to say that they're going to be included with their fathers. In other words, they can't be called Rishoyim themselves, but they can be called Oisei Risho, those who do wickedness. Because the fact is, right now they're following in their fathers and their parents' ways, and they're also not acting the way Yid should act. So says Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Akiva, I'm a boy in the Olam Haba. Rabbi Akiva says they do come to Olam Haba, those little kids. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Shoyim Psoyim Hashem. Hashem watches over the simple. And how does Psoyim mean children? Shekain Kodim B'Tnachay Yom Le'inuka Pasya. In the cities near the sea, they call a child Pasya. So therefore, Shoyim Psoyim Hashem means Hashem watches over the children and doesn't allow them to go into Gehenna. Because yes, their fathers or their parents are Rishoyim, but nevertheless, they themselves have done nothing wrong. And therefore, Hashem is going to save them from Gehenna. Basically, the Maharal explains that Rabbi Gamliel takes the view that, listen, children usually follow their parents, so therefore they're considered like tuffle, and if the parents are getting punished, then so are the children. Whereas Rabbi Akiva takes the view that, no, Hashem is specially watching them. They have no ability to watch themselves and guard themselves. So therefore, they're not considered secondary to their, and they're not considered an adjunct of their ancestors, of their fathers. Hashem is considered their father, so therefore they can be saved by virtue of that. And Rabbi Akiva says, I have another pasuk that expresses this point. In context of the one of the dreams that Nebuchadnezzar had, where he's shown a gigantic tree, and then a malach comes and says, chop down the tree, it refers to how Nebuchadnezzar himself is going to go crazy and go run off and live with the animals for a few years until he realizes that Hashem is the boss. Anyway, the pasuk says, Goydu Ilana, chop down the tree, v'chabluhi, and destroy it, bram, ikoshoshohi, ba'arashvuku, but leave its main roots in the ground. So in other words, we're taking that pasuk out of context, and we're using it to refer to the Rishoyim and their descendants. So the small children are considered the roots. Even though the fathers may not have a chelek l'olam haba, nevertheless Hashem is going to save the roots, and namely the children. The Elamani Makayim Lo Yazav Lahem Shodash Va'onav. So Rabbi Akiva says, so what am I doing with Rabbi Gamliel's pasuk that Hashem won't leave over for them a root or a branch? That means Shalayanech Lahem Lo Yish Mitzvah V'Lo Shiyure Mitzvah. Means that Hashem is not going to leave them any reward for the mitzvahs, for the greater mitzvahs that they did, or for the leftover, the bigger mitzvahs or the little mitzvahs. Everything Hashem will pay them back in this world, so they don't get a chelek l'olam haba. Another way of looking at it is that the root means the neshama and the branches means the body. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva has a chassidus. He's looking out for the children of these Rishoyim and wants to get them into Olam Haba, whereas now the Gemara is wondering then why was it by the Dor HaMidbar and by the Aseret HaShavatim that he's doing differently. But he continues, Avaktane b'nei Rishoyim v'tichachavim, when it comes to the young children of Rishoyim among the Goyim, where they don't have their father's schusim and they don't have their own schusim either, Dibra Hakol ain't Boyim Olam Haba, then everybody agrees that they're not coming to Olam Haba because there's nothing particular for which they should come to Olam Haba. Chassidim Masa Olam is one thing, in other words, but here we're talking about the Rishoyim among the Goyim. Actually, we had earlier in the parak, we had a machalukas about what happens to them, we had in particular Rabbi Yeshua saying that only goyim shechei elikim, only the goyim who've forgotten about Hashem, have no place in Olam Haba, but chassidim Masa'ilam do. But here we're talking about the rishoyim who don't, who are not chassidim Masa'ilam, so their children then, Rabbi Akiva says, that's it. So, jivahakal in boyim Olam Haba, there's no question that they have no place in Olam Haba. So what about Ram Gamliel? Ram Gamliel would learn that same point from a different pasuk. So the pasuk says that you will destroy all memory of them, meaning in other words, the Goyim, the Rishoyim, then there's no memory left of them, not their children, they have no Chelek Olam Haba either. So basically, Rashi says now they both agree with this point that the young children of the Rishoyim are Dibre Hakol and Boyim La Olam Haba. That part that we learn from Va'at Ta'abed Kol Zeichol Lama is a point to everybody. Each one uses Shodesh V'Anach for a different thing, whether it means the children of the Rishoyim among the Jews or whether it means the Neshama and the Guf, or there's large mitzvahs and the small mitzvahs or whatever. But they both agree with that last point. So then the Gemara will take up now the question. We're saying that young children do come to Olam Haba, so we'll talk about tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. So at what point is a child Zoicha that he's going to have Tchiyat HaMeisim and so forth.